Welcome to the Future of Pharma with ISP Boston, where I talk to the thought leaders of the pharmaceutical industry about where our industry is headed and what you can do about it. I'm your host, Samir Gondalia. Thanks for joining us today.
My guest today is Amar Rafat. Amar has over 17 years of experience combining architectural, construction, and engineering expertise and is an industry-leading technology expert. As Vice President of Virtual Design Construction and Technology at Windover Construction, he leverages the most cutting-edge technology such as beam, laser scanning, draw mapping, virtual and mixed reality, digital fabrication, and 3D printing to streamline the construction process for his clients and project teams. Amar has published multiple articles on construction innovation and is a regular presenter at technology conferences throughout the country. He holds a Master's of Architecture degree from Boston Architectural College and was recently recognized as the Autodesk AEC Innovator of the Year. Although we mostly talked about the innovations in construction, it was also illuminating how this is affecting the life science industry, considering how much new construction is going on and the cost of not doing something right the first time in the pharmaceutical industry. If you have recently been part of a construction project, you may already have used some of the technology mentioned in this episode. I had a lot of fun talking to and learning from Amar. I hope you enjoy this interview as well. Here's Amar Rafat.
Good afternoon, Amar. How are you doing today?
Hi, Samir. How are you?
Thank you for joining. I'm really excited to talk to you today. So let's talk about. Tell us a little bit about your journey. You graduated from the architecture school of architecture, and now you are working, and you are overseeing the group that is literally working with the state of the art, almost futuristic technological tools. So walk us through a little bit of your journey, your background, and some of the cool projects you have touched.
So I started my career working with Peter Shermaev. He's a designer of international aquariums around the world, who worked on the public aquarium designs. And then I actually was doing back then my master's degree in architecture at the Boston Architecture College. Then I started to join the construction industry. So I have that background of architectural design with construction expertise. And we started to work on some really of the leading edge technologies, including virtual reality, augmented reality, digital prefabrication, MEB, BIM coordination, robotics and automation to really help transform the industry. So it's been an accumulation of knowledge and skill sets and expertise. Took it from the design phases until construction and close out.
You have been around for 15 years, almost 15 years, and some change. How have you seen the change, or rather the evolution of technology in your field in construction management? I thought AutoCAD was, hip. And now the tools I see, they are, augmented reality, virtual reality. How has the evolution been in terms of technological advancement?
That's a great point, Samir. You bring up a great point here, because the how the technology evolves was, it was great to see that how these technologies, because there are tools and there are technologies. So tools are the drone, the Oculus, the laser scanner. And as soon as we capture data or we start to create experiences within these tools, it becomes technologies which is applying those tools to really offer real-time solutions for challenges, whether it's a design challenge that we want to show the client how things will look like, or sense and feel, managing materials, managing change, or even capture details from a laser scanner or a drone to do QA QC to mitigate risk and making sure what's built is really according to the plan. So it was great to see how this evolves in the last 16 or 17 years. When virtual reality came up to the market, we thought, oh, that's the greatest thing ever. How it can get even better? And then we started to use the Microsoft HoloLens, which is augmented reality. And then that was amazing back then, to walk the site with all the, we've been one of the very first firms to start using Microsoft HoloLens and mixed reality to overlay the 3D models over existing sites for QA, QC. And then that was something great. And then drones came up. We started to use it on sites to not only to take pictures and videos, but it was more for us as an eye, more of an than an eye in the sky. It was more capturing data, scanning areas and mapping with 3D models to really embed it to the building process. And then after drones, we started to do laser scanning, robotics, automation. So it's amazing is that each piece of this is powerful by itself, but when combined with the previous ones that came before, combined this, they can become very powerful and very useful for our field teams and our design and project teams. So the accumulation of knowledge here and these technologies has been very amazing to see it evolve. I don't think we would ever get the power and the benefit of, say, automation on an autonomous robot that we helped develop at Autodesk Technology Center with a software robot company last year. I don't think that would be useful without using and utilizing laser scanning, which we've been using for a few years before we start developing that robot. So basically, it's an accumulation of process. What has been developed 15 years ago is very useful for what is developed right now.
So that's what I want to talk to you most about, how all this ties up. But before we get into this, that detail, I have a segue question. You mentioned Microsoft HoloLens, right? You said augmented reality?
Yeah, mixed reality. It basically mixes
reality.
Yeah.
So, So when I look at the Amazon Prime app I have, and you know, some of the like furniture type of things, I can, and I think that's very rustic, right? So this is a layman question. So you know where I'm going with this, right? So sure, I can point my camera in the corner and say I want to buy a sofa, and then I can tap on it, and that app, Amazon Prime app, will show me how that sofa or heater or a vase will look in that part of my house, right? So yeah. Is that like the early primitive version of what you're talking about?
You're bringing up a great point, Samir, because there are two aspects of this. The first aspect is that we've been using, actually, we used it on lab and life science projects recently, that we have the client, we upload all the models, the 3D models of the lab. For example, before it gets built, and the client and the architect and our field and our project management walks aside during demo phase, looking at how this lab will look like, how these MEBs will look like in the power of this in the existing site. See how this workstations will look like, how this lab will look like. So it's for visualization and to understand how the space will look like after it's built. And that's huge help. Because it can set the expectations early, manage a change. People who really use the lab can say, oh, I don't want this space to look like that. How about we change that counter here? So they can experience the space before it's even built to manage a change and towards higher satisfaction at the end when it's built. That's one thing. The second thing we've been doing actually at Wendover this year is that we combine the mixed reality with digital prefabrication. So after we created 935 trusses with digital prefabrication this summer, in March, our field team put the HoloLens, and it's been guiding them with a really leading edge technology called Phologram. It's been the first time to be used, one of the very first time to be used. This is from Australia. So we applied the models into this, and it's basically guiding our field team assemble those 900 trusses as if, you know, when you assemble furniture, without having to look out of the task in hand. It's basically the catalog that this HoloLens with this software and this technology is guiding our field team to assemble those trusses. And the result was assembling almost 1,000 trusses instead of 7 days in only 3 days.
Okay, so nice. And when you get your clients to see this thing virtually, do you use VR glasses, like one of the glasses you have in your profile picture on your on the Wendover website?
Yes, it's called the Microsoft HoloLens, done by Microsoft. It's one of the best engineering pieces we ever used. It's really very immersive, and we upload the 3D models to it, which we created at Wendover. And then in the case of the Phologram, for example, HoloLens has been used for a long time now. Like when I say long time for technology, it's like 3-4 years. But we've been used.
Well, you know, it's slightly different than automobile technology, right? Automobile, exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's recent, 30 years ago. But in this, you know, AR VR space, you know, if you go someplace for 2 years, there is no whole new generation of technology and tools available.
Yeah, so exactly, it's your point. So we've been using it for visualization, but what's new here, really innovative, is how we use it to build something, to unify it with manufacturing and to help our field team to build something very safe, very cost effective, because it's saving time and money and keeping everybody safe, because when it's guiding everyone to the process, it removes the tedious part of it. So yes, we use the HoloLens and it's very realistic. It shows you a hologram of what's already built in front of you.
And is it like, is it in the same category as Oculus, like one of those things, or is it like totally different hardware?
That's an awesome point. Mixed reality is mixing the power of virtual reality. For example, let's start with the Oculus, which we use a lot to manage materials. We had a project in Gloucester, a 13-acre site. What we did is that we created a very realistic 3D models with all the materials. And then the client put the Oculus in a working session and select, oh, I don't like this wood floor. Let's try a concrete floor. So it helps them manage material in a very realistic environment, but you can't see what's around you. But what is the power of the mixed reality, which is mixing virtual reality with the reality itself, is in the glasses like the Microsoft HoloLens. The power of it is on site. So the virtual reality, we can be in New York together and looking at our lab or our life science or healthcare hospital project in Boston. But the power of the HoloLens is actually we are on site in Boston and we are looking together on site at what will be built in the future, in the near future, and examine it and see how it will work.
Okay. So Oculus is all virtual. It's all coded thing. But with HoloLens, you can combine a real thing you can touch and overlay something on it.
Exactly.
Okay. And Oculus, are there any apps available? I was talking to a friend of mine. She's founder of a VR company, and you know, she was telling me that you can buy Oculus and there are apps like you can play and you can get the VR, some of the VR experience, even if you don't have, you know, loaded programs like which you just mentioned. Are we there yet where you can buy Oculus as a toy and see, you know, different VR realities?
Yes. So there are different aspects for this. For example, during our safety weeks, we've been doing developing in-house at Wendover safety trainings for our field team and our teams, because they go to the site and they have to point at 10 OSHA violations on site. It's more of bring fun to the process. So they step into the totally virtual site and they have to look around, find all these things that could, you know, OSHA violations. So more of educational part of that in immersive way. So we use it also in educational part as well. Apps is that take you to firefighting trainings. So the way we actually envision that at Wendover is more to remind and educate our teams constantly about risks. So when they go to the site, they are very familiar with these things in a very immersive experience, risk-free virtual experiences. That's one of the powers of VR. But it's also can be used for gaming as Oculus. It's a really immersive experience that we've been using it. It's very interesting what you're bringing, because what's been using is gaming engines to create games. Our VDC team, virtual design construction team, use to create those virtual experiences for clients to experience the building. We use the same game engines to create these realistic renderings of how the space will look like and feel with all these real materials and people walking and cranes moving around. One of the things also we use with the HoloLens is that we do 4D sequencing, which is fourth dimension this time. You wave the HoloLens and you look around on site in front of you and you see the building going up, linked to schedule.
It's like real time presentation.
Absolutely. Like in a very immersive experience.
Yeah. So it's like the project is progressing in front of you, and you can touch different time points and see what the project should look like at a given time point.
Exactly. And it's very powerful, and the clients love it to visualize.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's bring all of this together. By the way, that was great explanation for someone like me who is not too savvy in that space. So let's say a life science, right? And I want to talk to you mostly about this, the virtual design tools that you use and you and your colleagues at Wendover use for design and construction of life science projects. And essentially, I think this is going to be, you know, the gist of the talk that you and Bill Olson gave, you know, facility optimization through construction tech. A client comes to you, say it's a construction project, capital project, you know, it's a cell therapy, gene therapy, or some sort of manufacturing thing. And which tools would you use at different stages to help them make it, and I'll use the cliche that we use in the industry, to make it bigger, better, bigger, faster, and cheaper?
Sure. So during the life cycle of the project, whether it's a big building out of the ground, a hospital or life science lab, or it's a smaller lab, what we've been doing is that we tailor these technologies to support real-time solutions. So say, for example, the first thing we've been doing, give you an example in a life science project in Massachusetts here, is a client wanted to move from a site, an older site, to a new site. So we laser scanned the existing spaces with the labs and with the equipment that's there. And then we took this data, 3D data, and started to support the design team with the 3D point cloud actual representation to the millimeter of these spaces and these labs are to see how they will fit in the new space. And then after we moved to work on the new space, we did MEB, BIM coordination, which is 3D coordination, making sure that before fabrication of ducts, that we have zero clashes. So all the duct work, the new duct work and the pipes, all the ducts will fit in the right spots before we go to fabrication. That mitigates risk, making sure that there are no costly delays for the project and the project will meet its time. So we basically 3D modeled all the duct work, all the pipes that will go to the lab. And then after we fabricated and installed, Wendover installed the lab, all the labs and everything, before we close up the ceilings and the walls, we laser scan again, making sure we capture all the data there for future, to support the future facility maintenance and management for the client. So that's one of the, how we would support an interior fit out or a new project that is supported the client before they even move to the space, before construction starts, and during construction with really optimized MEB BIM coordination, combining sometimes drone mapping and laser scanning, and build it everything virtually first to mitigate risk and making sure there are no surprises on site. Samir, the whole purpose of the virtual design construction vision here is to have no surprises in the field when we build. So we utilize all these different laser scanning, drone mapping, if it's a building from out of the ground, and MEB coordination to make sure that when our field team is building, they mitigate risk, no surprises, everything will fit in place. So that's a life cycle.
And how do you measure the success of your investment, right? Because these things are not cheap. The creating these virtual tools, because you need to code. From what little I know, you know, everything needs to be coded. It's not like, you know, Windows where you can just click few things and create a video, right? It's very hardcore coded. And it's to create 1 minute of video can cost anywhere between $25,000 to, you know, $60,000-$70,000. So how do you measure the success of the tech investment versus the savings or return on investment? Or, oh, by the way, thank God we invested this much money, it saved our client $2 million in potential mistakes in future. Or how do you measure success?
Sure. That's a great question, actually. A clear example of that was the Canvas project. It's a mixed use project in Beverly, Massachusetts, It actually won the AEC Global Awards in 2019 for Autodesk.
That was my next question, but you stole my question. But all right, so we can combine two. It's okay. Let's combine two questions. Because I saw that and I said, oh wow, that's Autodesk award. That's gotta be good. So that's perfect actually. Let's combine two questions. We can talk about your award and return on investment.
Oh, thank you. So it's like building blocks of success was modular. Wendover has been building modular construction over the years, and we have the in-house expertise of combining technology, latest technology with modular expertise to build very fast. So one of the canvas Wendover was able to shed 3 months of project schedule with modular construction combined with the laser scanning, the drone mapping, to mitigate risk. After we erected the steel at each phase, we laser scanned the steel built on site, erected on site, and communicated this information with the factory that's in Canada, which is building the boxes off site. And with that, we're able to have zero clashes on site when these boxes come, because all the vertical shafts for MEB fit perfectly through this enhanced communication by laser scanning reality capture on site, making sure we are coordinating with what's built and not what's drawn, actually, what's already built. If there is an inch difference, we captured that and we mitigated that through laser scanning. And with that, we're able to cut 3 months of the schedule. So you go to the client, we're going to build this in 15 months. If you build it in 12 months, that's mitigating risk, making sure no surprises on site, and time is money in construction, of course, and supporting the client to start operations early. That's amazing. Like in life science projects, it would be good to finish early so they can move in and start working and create all these great innovations. Because the whole goal is, for example, life science projects and healthcare, they have a great innovations going on there. So what we're trying at Wendover is to keep pace with and try to adapt with this innovation through our leading edge technology and construction expertise to expedite processes. Like earlier this year, because of COVID, we had to respond. Several schools in New England reached out to Wendover with our modular expertise to build temp dorms for students. So when they come back in the fall, they can come back safe. If they, God forbid, test positive for COVID-19, they can stay on this temp dorm. So what we did is that on first day, we utilized the drone mapping and laser scanning on site to capture all the surveying basically of the site. So when we put this modular, we know, and we supported a process that would usually, for example, take weeks to get it done in days, like with animations to show the fire chief how the fire truck will go in a very busy urban campus, for example. So we've been shedding time. Cutting time through these virtual experiences, and obviously time reflects very positively to build safer and more efficient for clients.
Absolutely. Time is money. Time is life. And if you can build something for a company a few months earlier, and that's what, I try to explain, in project management, is that if you have a delay in the project, the cost is not necessarily only the salary or the expenses for the extra month or two of the delay. It's also the lost revenue, which you would lose because you would not be able to start your production on time. So depending on what they are going to be doing inside the facility, you can probably end up saving them millions of dollars. If it's GMP manufacturing, I know that's definitely going to be millions of dollars of saving, if not pure profit. How do you do that? Do you have in-house expertise, or do you collaborate with external sources? Because it seems that when you do this, you will have to produce these kind of things for your client very quickly, right?
Yeah. So real-time services is a point. We do all this in-house at Wendover. We developed a really leading edge virtual design construction team. We actually been supporting other EEC firms. We created a platform called the IDEA, Innovations for Design, Engineering, and Automation. We support our partners like in engineering firms, and we actually been doing now a project in California, animations and the virtual design construction work for them. So we've been supporting the EEC industry. We wanted to extend our services to support and really help transform the EEC industry with all the technologies and leading edge technologies we constantly develop at Wendover. So we do it all in-house. And the power of this, Samir, is real-time communication. Remember when we talked about the canvas and the modular and laser scanning and shedding 3 months of schedule? When we scan in the morning, say 9 a.m., we scan the site erected on the steel. The factory in Canada is making the boxes right now. So very quickly, we process the data. And by, say, 1 p.m., the factory has all this information so they can do all the necessary adjustments in the vertical shafts, making sure when they ship this box in the next few days, it's going to reflect those changes and we will place those boxes safely and with no clashes at all on site. So communication in real time, communication between the virtual design construction team of Wendover and the field team of Wendover is very critical in that, how we communicate very quickly. It really, these technologies, laser scanning, drone mapping, and BEM, MEEB coordination, helping really enhance communication between all the team members, even with our design partners. We communicate with them with laser scan. It's really much better to see it, to see the clash and resolve it before it even become a problem.
That's the important thing. If you can solve the, you know, in health too, we say prevention is better than cure. And in projects, particularly when we talk about high-tech, life science, or any other capital project, you know, if you can identify a problem beforehand, that can end up saving you lots of time and money afterwards. I can definitely, this is not really the topic we are discussing about life science, but on a side note, I did an online workshop in spring, and one of the, and there were, you know, 13 mini projects. The workshop I did was Seth Godin's Alt MBA. And one of the prompts, one of the mini projects was think of a company that is doing something, but they should pivot and they should start doing something else using their assets. And that was just the beginning of COVID thing in April, May. And the prompt I did was I chose Disney. And my argument was that Disney is in a virtual reality business. Because of this COVID thing, it's going to be very hard to get people together. And business, every single dollar comes from getting people together, whether it's cruise, movies, stage shows, or all those amusement parks. But they have the library of these things, and they can convert those resources into virtual reality content, consumable content. And then Disney fans, they can consume that content and feel like that immersive experience rather than just watching YouTube video. And again, I had to come up with this thing in less than a day, right? So I didn't think it through. But do you see everything is going online, but at some point, I'm sure HoloLens and Oculus, they will become a commodity item, right? They'll be available in $100, $200 or their comparable hardware. How do you see, because it's going to happen, but how do you see it's going to impact the entertainment segment? Where do you see that's going?
It's definitely, we are exchanging. I was speaking at a conference last year in New York with folks from Disney. It was based on this, and NVIDIA, actually, I was on a panel with NVIDIA and someone from Pixar, actually, Pixar. What we actually thought, what the conclusion of the conference is that it's amazing to see how the technology we are actually using in the construction industry now and is the same being used in the entertainment, same as it being used in other industries and even in the healthcare. You can't do this alone. So basically, even with robotics, when we started to develop a robot to do autonomous laser scanning on site to save time and money, we needed to work with robotics software companies and not construction companies as well. So in order to advance all these industries together, entertainment, gaming, construction, robotics, we will need to work it together to learn from each other and support each other. So to your point, entertainment, to get the whole lens into that, I think we are very close to that. All these great movies that my daughters Sophia and Lily love to watch for Disney, we watch Disney every day with all these great immersive stories, and the stories are very powerful. So to it's a storytelling. So remember when we talked earlier about the 4D sequencing, how the building evolved from foundation to steel to building envelope to building complete to landscape. That's a story. We are storytelling how we're going to build the project and show the client and the team how we're going to build it according to schedule. It's the same story when you watch a beautiful Disney movie, that it's telling a story as well. And the media we are telling those stories are those 3D graphics, 3D realistic. And the more realistic the experience, the more it can touch people's feelings and communicate the message very well. And they have people, make people feel better, make people do better in life. So I think really those tools, these technologies, the Oculus, the HoloLens, the gaming engines, we do our virtual reality experiences, whether in the construction or in the entertainment, is getting there. But one of, if a as a construction company, we took the investment and the effort to really learn and master these gaming engines to create virtual experiences to support the architectural engineering and construction industry. It's the same methods. When you see all these 3D movies, they are modeling Paris, for example. You see Miraculous movie, for example. It has Paris beautifully 3D modeled. It's the same technology we use to model all these beautiful canvases we work on in New England. Same technology being used across the industries, and the power really to transform the construction industry forward is that we go master and learn more about what the other industry is doing, whether it's robotics, automation, or entertainment, and add this into our experience. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for about 50 years, or maybe longer, you call it whatever you call industrial age, the trend of our humanity was building things bigger. Bigger was better. Mass production was better because you can get it cheaper. And, TV screen, they kept getting bigger and bigger over 30 years. And the medicine, if you make something that lots of millions of people need, you can make it cheaper. The trend in last 10 years, I think, and you can see that, is things are becoming smaller. Smaller is beautiful. Things are becoming more and more individualized. People have the big screen TVs in their home, but they consume 90% of their entertainment on their cell phone, right? Which is very small screen. We are talking about personalized medicine, where you can, have your own cells process and inject them back into you. And for entertainment, I think Oculus or HoloLens or something, you are going to have your own individual theater. If you have your glasses, you have your own movie theater, and you can have your immersive entertainment experience. And I think it's going to happen very shortly. I just don't want to say that in our lifetime, it's going to happen a lot sooner than that. And I'm very excited about this technological advancement. The robotics, particularly you mentioned, if you can mix VR, mixed reality and robotics, you can shorten a doctor's training time. I'm using doctor because we all are familiar that the surgeons need to train for a lot longer time. You can shorten that training time with a lot less risk. So let's switch gears. We talked about professional world. Let's talk about you, Amar. If you have a choice of a topic to do a potential TED talk outside of your subject matter expertise, what subject would you choose? Something you are passionate about and something you think that world can benefit from that idea?
I think a topic that I always believe in during my career and even beyond my career is to be kind. It's really help. If someone is being kind, it's great to have great expertise in what we do and to work hard and to do all the hard work and learn more every day. Like every 6 months, we learn new things at Wendover. I learn a new thing every 6 months. New technology, new softwares, because it's ever evolving. But I think a talk that I would love to do one day is about how to be kind can really transform the world around us and make us all work together to make great things happen that we don't even imagine that it could be done.
You are so right. I think I saw it on Instagram or Twitter. Someone had tweeted, kindness is a superpower. And I totally believe that. Sometimes it's not easy to be kind. But, you know, one should always try to be kind because everyone's fighting their own internal battle and we don't know. But kindness can always pay rewards. What role models did you have growing up and how they shaped your worldview and career choices?
So my father is an architect and he was a leader in a construction industry. My brother is an architect as well. He studied at Harvard University real estate development. My mother is an art teacher. So I come from a family who really respect and love arts and architecture and the construction in some way. So that definitely my father, I watched my father when he was working hard in a construction company, like as we do now every day. if there is one thing I learned from him in construction is to work with honesty. He was always his company and he was always like being honest, finish the work on time, say what you said you're going to do. Do what you said you're going to do. So these are the things that really influenced me. And in addition to love of architecture and art and travel and taking pictures of these beautiful historic buildings like the Colosseum. So that definitely influenced my direction of how I envision buildings and the details of it. So, this is a morale of, being honest in what we do. And really work hard because he's a hard worker too. So I learned that from him.
That's perfect. So you had all these years, watching him while growing up and honesty. If you're honest, you don't have to remember what you said, right? that's a saying that, if you're honest, you can just tell them what happened. But if you're dishonest, you have to remember what you said and to whom, right? And so honesty is also, I think, a great virtue and we can definitely appreciate. In the current world. Which books have you recommended the most to others or books that have influenced you? The book that, maybe you keep going back to that book more than once, maybe every year.
So there were, in terms of books, there was a lot of really great books.
Tell us all. I got all the time for books.
I am more into novels. Since I was young, I used to read a lot for Shakespeare. And I like the Macbeth. It's my favorite novel, Macbeth.
That's interesting.
It's my favorite. Well,
by the
one.
Way, are you supposed to say Macbeth? Aren't you supposed to say it's a Scottish play? That's the one, right? The one cursed play?
Yeah, Macbeth, when he became a king and right. He has his friend Othello and it's a really nice story showing all the different sides of mankind. And right. I really enjoyed it, but I
think also when they did the stage play, the play had so many bad luck that they didn't say Macbeth. They called it the Scottish play because it's set in Scotland, right? The background is set in Scotland.
Shakespeare has been like is really really a good writer. Like I really love how he can portray and the mankind, all the characters, all the great stories. So these are one of the stories. So when I have time, I really read novels and or even watch them now. It's everything now on Netflix is really awesome.
Yeah,
really easy to access. So I encourage even my kids to watch these great novels reading. So it's really good.
Right. Yeah, my son, he had a school project last week about A Christmas Carol, a book by Charles Dickens. And there was a movie on Disney Plus. So we watched the movie first and then he read the book. I think it made it much easier for him to understand and, enjoy and appreciate because the book can be a little darker for a 12-year-old, right? So it's all about the ghosts and spirits. But I think with the advent of entertainment available, you can always tap into that. Amar, what is the easiest way to find you? If someone gets more interested, more curious after listening to this podcast, how can they find you? I know you're on LinkedIn, but do you have any other way you prefer people contact you?
Sure, you can. You will find my email in our website. If anyone can feel free to email me anytime.
Can you spell it out?
Sure, it's Arafat at windover.com. So A as in Apple, R as in Robert, E as in Apple, another E as in Apple, F as in Frank, E as in Apple, T as in Tom, at windover.com. And okay. If anyone can feel free to start to communicating, and I'd love to talk to everyone about all the advancing technologies we do and how we can support life science and any actually projects with that.
Absolutely. Now, before we say goodbye to our audience, Omar, do you have any parting words, any ask to our audience?
I hope everyone will have a great holidays time. It's different this year because of COVID. I hope COVID goes away and that we all meet in person for the next ISPE conference and, in person next year in 2021. It's really nice to meet people in person and get to make friends and have drinks and lunches together right now with everything virtual. And I would really hope COVID goes away and everyone enjoy a wonderful holiday season. Thank you so much for having me, Samir. Appreciate it.
No, thank you. Yeah, no, my pleasure, our pleasure. And thank you very much for, giving us your time and your wisdom. I really enjoyed it. And I'm sure you'll hear a lot from our listeners as well. So, Omar, on that note, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time and generosity. And you have a nice day, Omar.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and let others know. Word of mouth is our oxygen. Visit www.ispeboston.org for the comprehensive show notes from today's episode and also find out more ways to associate with us. Do let us know your thoughts in the comment section, and if there is someone you'd like to see as a guest on this show, thanks again for joining us today. We'll see you next time.